Well, we've got that great season going on, comes by every year. It's a marvelous season. You know what season I'm talking about, right? Deer season. Yeah. It's a very interesting season. It actually has something in common with Advent. Believe it or not, I'm going to tell you about that. I have a son, I have several children, but one of my sons has been hyper since he was a child. The kid could just not sit still for a moment. Well, he's grown now, he's got a wife, starting a family, and his father-in-law is a hunter, a deer hunter. So my son is now kind of enthralled with this, and for the past few years has been engaging in this. And it's the most amazing thing, because in order to deer hunt, you go out into the woods, and you have to do a couple of things. You have to be still, you have to be quiet, and you have to wait while things unfold around you. And my son, after all these years, is learning how to do just those things. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So deer season is like Advent in that regard. It's a time of quiet and waiting, waiting on God, waiting on God to unfold in and around us. I heard a story the other day I wanted to share with you for today's homily. Out in the Kansas prairie some years back, there was an obstetrician who was waiting on a call from a woman who was going to come and deliver her baby. Well, the call finally came in, but in the meantime, a snowstorm set in, and it was dumping lots of snow. Well, the call came in from the woman, and the doctor jumps in his car and heads for her house, not sure if he's going to be able to get there. But in this story, somewhere, someone between the husband of the woman and the people in the community there, someone started a phone chain. And by the time the doctor got off the main roads and on the back road to go to the lady's house, every man and boy had gone out and shoveled the road all the way to her house. Is that amazing? How we wait means everything. And Advent is a time of waiting. Our whole Catholic life is a time of waiting, but it's emphasized in Advent. Hopefully, we all heard that first reading about Ahaz. King Ahaz, he was king of the Jewish people at that time, because it's an example of how not to wait. We have just that little snippet of a story, and if that's all we know of the story, it can be a little confusing. So, King Ahaz, he had been told by the prophet Isaiah, "Trust in God, and all will be well." You see, Ahaz had enemies approaching him on two sides. Their intent was to crush him and conquer him and his people. And God said, "Trust and wait for me." But Ahaz could do neither. He could neither wait, nor could he trust. And so he went out and he made an alliance with one of the enemies, figuring he would save his people that way. But then when the wait is over, God is ready to deliver Ahaz and his people. And Ahaz then tries to be coy with God. And that's what we hear today. "Oh, I would never dare to ask you, O Lord, for a sign. I would never dare to do that. Just go about your way, thank you." Because he's already defaulted. The results of his choice historically are disastrous for him, for his people, and his family. Disaster. But in the end of that reading, if you recall, we hear that God's plan for saving the world will unfold nonetheless. It will just do so without Ahaz. Now in the gospel, we hear how the birth of Jesus came about. That's how it opened up. Well, how was that? How did it come about? It came about with a lot of waiting. Purposeful waiting. And what is purposeful waiting? It's a combination of stillness an appropriate action. Look at Mary, our Blessed Lady. Early in her life, early on as a child, she set herself aside to wait on God. She waited on God's way in her life, put herself aside for this purpose alone. She didn't know that she would one day be the mother of the Messiah. She chose to wait on God in her life, ordering her life to God in complete trust. Imagine such a thing. It's very difficult to imagine just what that might be in its totality. But then one day the angel Gabriel comes and visits her. And again, she sets herself aside even more for God's will. She conceives. And then what? And then she waits. For 9 months, she waits. And she waited with purpose. And I'm sure that she wasn't smoking or drinking. She was eating right. She was getting exercise. She was praying. She was preparing herself to be a mother, getting her house in order. She waited with purpose. Joseph, an older man, righteous and humble before God, he finds out that she's pregnant. So what does he do? His response, is it a knee-jerk reaction? No. He waits. He pauses. He doesn't want to make a public display for the sake of his own reputation. He waits and he says, I will divorce her quietly. He doesn't want to get her stoned to death or, at the very least, shamed in public. And then the angel comes to Joseph, and this righteous and humble man begins then to wait on God in a whole new way for the rest of his life, being husband and father. Trust and wait. Purposeful waiting. Purposeful waiting by Joseph and Mary, and the result, contrary to Ahaz, is marvelous. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Savior of all humanity. So we have good examples to guide us and inspire us in Mary, in Joseph, and in Jesus himself all through his life. We can take a lesson from Advent and from these readings, and in fact from all Scripture. Waiting with purpose is a key to life in God. Because waiting in God requires our trust in God. And that's the hard part sometimes, isn't it? But what does this look like in our real lives, waiting and trusting? What's it look like? Our lives are pretty frenetic and hectic. We kind of tend to stuff our lives filled full with only one purpose, and that is to fill every conscious moment that we have with action. Bum, 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 bum. So what does it look like, purposeful waiting? Well, it looks like the actions that we take that clear the way for God to come into any given situation. It looks like life that is more about God than about me. It looks like peace and tranquility where we might not expect to see peace and tranquility. How could that person be calm and I know they're having a rough time? Let me give you an example. There are a lot of married couples here, obviously. I'm part of a married couple. As a married couple, we know that there is a fertile time every month. We have to deal with it. And let's say we have a married couple who is not ready at a given time to have another child. They don't want to conceive. All right. There are two things they can do, two courses of action. One is purposeful waiting, the way of God. The other is waiting without purpose. The way of me. So now in the way of God, purposeful waiting, we're going to abstain. Well, we can do it in joy. We can pray together. We can give thanks to God for our fertility. Thanks to God for our freedom. Thanks to God for our sexuality. We can remember Christ, how he waited purposefully. Look at his actions, his perseverance. We can basically celebrate this moment as a moment worth celebrating. We can take our wives out to eat or dance or shopping, something. Wives could make their husband's favorite meal at this particular time. We can exercise together, take a jog, a swim, a walk. Go out and just see, get a little fresh air. Visit friends and family. Hug each other often. Leave little notes to each other. I love you. Can't wait to see you tonight when I get home from work. We can appreciate each other in ways that normally we might not. We can choose at this time to be kind in general, not just to each other, but to all those around us. Make a moment for kindness out of it. Appreciate the strength that God gives us to walk through persevering times and be Christ to each other. This is what I tell my couples that come to me for preparation for marriage. I emphasize this from day one till the end. Be Christ to each other. Now, we can also choose the way of me without any purposeful waiting. What might that look like? Well, we might still abstain, but we might pout about it. Ah, oh, geez, we might get grumpy and have a pity party. We might snipe at each other, act like it's somebody's fault. You know, treat this fertility as something of a problem rather than the gift that it is. You know, Jesus, if you look in the scriptures and the gospels, never did he pout. Not one time did he pout. Do you know why? Because pouting is unbecoming for the human person. It makes a very loud statement that says, I don't have trust in God, and I don't know how to wait on God in this situation. It's unbecoming. It's basically saying my immediate desires are not met, and someone has to pay. Or, in this non-purposeful waiting, we could choose not to abstain. We could remove God from the equation altogether. We could choose to contracept, or we could choose to commit adultery in some form or another. You know, and that's treating my spouse as an object for use on demand, instead of a human being, a person with dignity. You see, removing God from it completely. I want what I want when I want it, and nothing is more important. What a stance. There's no real purpose there. Where's the stillness and the action that accompanies it? The waiting with purpose, you see. Kids, if I could have your attention for a moment. Children, listen, do you remember the story I just told about the snowstorm? Did you hear what I said in there when I said that during that snowstorm, every man and boy got out and shoveled snow? The point is that adults and children did what needed to be done. So kids, you too need to know how to wait on God in your lives and to do it with purpose. And that purpose is to grow closer to God. This is so important. You know, it's evident to me over 20 years in the barbershop, the difference now and 20 years ago when families come in to get their kids' haircuts. You know, once upon a time, it was a lot of fun and there's a lot of running around and books and kids doing all kinds of things. And now it's all thumbs. It's all thumbs. We've got pads and we've got pods and we've got tablets and we've got phones. And it's so quiet in the barber shop, it drives me crazy sometimes. Nobody's talking to each other. Kids are so absorbed in electronics. It's important to learn, children, to choose now and then to put these things down, even if it's just for a few moments, a few minutes, and be still and quiet, to communicate with God. At least once a day, for a few minutes, be still and see what God might have to say with us. You know, if we're old enough to figure out how to work these electronic gadgets. We're old enough to pray. And that's a fact. At least we can say hello to God. Thank you, God. Maybe listen to what God has to say to us. I've learned something in my many years on planet Earth, and I'm sharing it with you here today in closing. It's the quiet heart that finds God. I'll say it again. It's the quiet heart that finds God. It's a simple thing. It really is. Wait on God, trust in His ways, and wait with purpose.